April 29th. Join WHFR along with The Zot, The Seatbelt, Rogue Satellites, Caveman, Woodman, and Bam Bam, Zombie Jesus, and the Chocolate Sunshine Band. Your $10 donation at the door will get you in to see all five bands and goes to support WHFR's Return to Vinyl project, a compilation record featuring local independent bands to be released on vinyl. So come on out to PJ's Logger House, Saturday, April 29th. Doors at 8 p.m., bands from 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. 21 and over to enter. Support local bands and support WHFR, the station making waves.
Arr, ahoy me hearties. This be WHFR Dearborn. This be the station that be making waves. And you can take that from Pierre Lafitte the Pirate. Arr.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. The following is a pre-recorded program and does not reflect the views of WHFR staff or Henry Ford College staff and members. This is Betty Daniels, the host for the fourth Tuesday, Impact. I'm going to start the program off with an introduction trailer, as some people will call them, about the organization that's going to be featured this week. And the organization is somewhat unique, so I'll let Sandy North from the Remember Me Quilt give you some information and background on our guest for today's Impact.
My name is Sandy North, and I am the Executive Director for the Remember Me Quilt Projects of Michigan, the Innocent Faces of Gun Violence.
Okay. And your guest?
I'm Susan McCabe. I'm also a board member of the Remember Me Quilt Project of Michigan and the Exhibits Director.
All right. Okay. Now, I want to kind of like tell how Sandy has been on the Impact Show maybe about a year ago or a little. Mm-hmm. All right. And I was talking to Sandy about, you know, how things were progressing and things like that. And then Sandy began to share with me some of the other organizations that she is beginning to impact with, as you do with the Memory Quilt. So the idea came up that we could share and begin to talk about some of those organizations and things that we have going on. And Sandy, why don't you first bring us back and give us an overview of the Memory Quilt so people can, you know, understand.
Right. First of all, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We organized because we wanted to make a difference in gun violence, and we knew that the way we could do that would be to change from the statistics to the real people, and from people who are being murdered across the country to people we're losing to gun violence every day on our streets in Michigan.
All right.
Okay, so okay. We've created quilts with the faces of those innocent victims, and they become part of an educational traveling exhibit.
Okay. Now, this is your fourth year now, or your third year?
We just finished our third year. We're excited because we finished, just completed. We incorporated on St. Patty's Day 3 years ago, so we finished our third year.
All right, and this was something from the ladies, both of you from Dearborn? Or?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And Ms. McCabe, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I got involved with this project as joining a committee that Sandy was running against gun violence, and I sort of sparked the idea for a quilt project. My background is in museum work.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in museums for over 30 years, and was looking at a way that we might recognize those innocent victims of gun violence we lose every day on our streets.
Mm-hmm.
Not to certainly take anything away from mass shootings, but mass shootings garner so much attention, and we forget about those lives that are lost every day.
Right, right.
And even today, as I looked in the New York Times, the child who was lost its life in California at the shooting, that was on page 19 of the paper.
Okay.
And so we continue this, and this is one way to remember those people who lose their lives every day and are often forgotten, except by the family.
All right. Now, Sandy, you and I were beginning to talk about some of the important partnerships that you have come about.
Yeah, absolutely. We do not do any events ourselves. What we do is we collaborate with other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those organizations have the same purpose that we do, that they mm-hmm. want to make a difference in gun violence. Some of them don't. Some mm-hmm. of them, like, for example, they might be people who are concerned about the issue of gun violence, churches or whatever, but that's not their main goal. They have a different goal. But right. by partnering with them,
right.
for example, our first year we did 47 events or presentations and right. or presentations. And by doing that, we can reach the greater part of the public.
Right.
It's the organizations we work with are very diverse,
mm-hmm.
Both in terms of membership and geographic areas.
Right.
And what we find is that doing it through other organizations, that if you collaborate, you make it a stronger impact and you maximize what you can do.
All right.
So whether it's a presentation or a march, if it includes multiple organizations, each one of those organizations become more powerful and have a greater impact by working together.
All right. Now, some of the organizations that you worked with, I remember what we were talking about, there was the women's, the
UAW Women's Creating Caring Communities.
Right, right, right.
Susan's going to talk about that one.
This is a program that happens in collaboration with the International Day of Women, mm-hmm. A worldwide celebration of women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's co-sponsored by the UAW. It's held at their facility down near the river in Detroit and draws between, I guess, 400 and 500
They've had their maximum numbers now. They're over 500, yeah. So that's great.
And more men, too.
Okay. Yeah,
and more men every
All right.
year.
Okay, now what was that experience like for you with, your quilt and that type of thing?
It's really, it's just a celebration day with various lectures, workshops, films, and we are one of the vendors, and there's probably about 50 vendors that mm-hmm. are sort of set up, and they're all different nonprofits and organizations who are making a difference in our community.
Right.
We're grateful to be one of those organizations that can display our quilts,
mm-hmm.
raising awareness mm-hmm. towards gun violence in Michigan, and having the opportunities to also meet families. We've met families who have relatives who are on the are on our quilts, but also, unfortunately, those who have also lost a loved one who may be on a future quilt of ours.
All right.
And the attendees are women who are already making a difference. Many of them are women who have started their own organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were there with some men, but mostly women, and you feel the women's enthusiasm and power that they have because they have another organization
mm-hmm.
that also leads to us maybe presenting to their organization.
All right.
But it's that old thing of, Betty, you can make a difference, and Susan can, and I can.
Yes.
But if we want to make a change,
yes.
it's through connecting and collaborating because you maximize.
Hi, this is Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What do you get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
This is one of the main things where you see.
This is Betty Daniels, and welcome to Impact. And this week we have three representatives. I hope I'm announcing the organization correctly. It's called The Initiative, but I'm going to let them go into it in fuller detail. But we'll start with Richard Feldman. And Richard, I'll let you introduce yourself and then introduce the ladies, okay?
Okay. My name is Rich Feldman, and I'm a member of the Women Creating Caring Communities organizing activities that have emerged from the United Auto Workers, as well as the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center.
Okay, and with you?
With me, or I'm with them.
Okay,
really the leadership of
okay,
the
ladies, you announce yourselves. Okay, we'll start with Wanda first.
Well, I'm Wanda Black, and I'm happy to be here today. And next to me is...
I'm Kim Shirobi, and I'm also... the co-chair of the Women Creating Caring Communities and a member of the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center.
All right. Now, Kim was asking me, how did I hear about you? Well, I had been hearing the announcement of the conference that was back in March, and I was trying to figure out how to, and I wear multiple hats, so I couldn't get to the conference because there was something up ahead of me, and by the time I got there, the gates were closed. And Sandy North from Remember Me Quilt, I said, Sandy, by any chance, do you have any connections or know anyone who was a part of that? And so she said, oh, yes, Betty, and they're just perfect. Okay, so that's how you came to fame. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Now, and I was trying to do research about the conference and everything. So one of Rich, Kim said you were the historian about the conference and what goes on behind that. Can't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, since Wanda and I graduated high school at the same time, but I had the privilege of working first for Ford Motor Company for 30 years at the Ford Michigan Truck Plant, and then for a number of years at the International Union with the with Vice President Cindy Estrada of the United Auto Workers. And during this, about 7-8 years ago, Cindy Estrada and Grace Boggs, from Grace and James Boggs and from the center, began to have conversations about how do we break down the wall between people, women who are working in the plants or the offices or workplaces, some are who are in unions, and women who are doing this amazing work in the community. And how do we begin to create a real sense of movement and conversation in our city, in the spirit of what Irma Henderson did and Marion Mahaffey did, in creating a real sense that we can rebuild and re-spirit and redefine our city, but we have to break down the wall between what had become an obstacle where folks weren't communicating between the workplace and the neighborhoods.
Okay, so it started off as something, now if I said UAW connection, or was this something more broader? I'll say, you know, it might have been a part of the UAW, but it was just...
It's part of the Women's Department of the United Auto Workers.
Okay. Absolutely.
Vice President Cindy Estrada was the vice president who had responsibility for the women's department.
Okay. All right.
And that it was in that role that she and Grace Boggs began to talk about the importance of women's leadership, the importance of the issues and concerns, and women playing such an important role in our city historically and mm-hmm. currently. And Grace being the activist and philosopher activist that she had been for some 70 years.
All right, okay. And Wanda, now how did you come about with all this?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question because I really can't remember the person that introduced me, but I can remember what happened. I went to one of the meetings, planning meetings, that was being held at UAW Solidarity House.
All right.
And at that meeting, I met Rich and Kim and Nicole and the other woman. And I hadn't thought that I would ever be this involved, mm-hmm. but I was so interested because what they were talking about was planning a conference where women could have a chance to express themselves in their inner souls, and then from that point develop out of those thoughts with the help and guidance of others, you know, getting them, talking to them,
mm-hmm.
what they wanted to do with their ability to be advocates for what they really thought they'd like to see in life.
All right.
And the leader of that I went to was Kim.
Okay.
And I was so inspired after listening her talk about how to reach inside myself mm-hmm. and pull out of myself the things that would negate my fears. So I coined a phrase from Kim, and I've kept it for a long time. It's been about 3 years now, Kim, I think. And that is, I'm good, but I can be better. And I am the best
all right.
at doing all that.
Now I'm about to write that one down.
That's what I tell myself. And how I got involved. And so I kept coming back to volunteer. Got my husband involved in volunteering. And then Rich and Kim and Nicole asked me if I would like to be a part of the planning committee. And I said, Jiminy Cricket, sure, yeah, I would like to do that. And here I am today.
Okay, and now we have Kim. How did you get to where you are, or all this kind of good stuff?
So being a member of the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center,
okay,
that's how I got introduced to the concept and was part of the initial planning and conversations that went on to get the initiative started.
All right. Now let's get this name of the initiative. So we are, when we're talking about the initiative, the official name is what?
Women
mm-hmm.
Creating Caring Communities.
All right. So you don't have to be UAW or anything like that to be a part of this initiative?
No.
Okay. Now, the conference, what goes into the conference, and what, you know, the theme this year was what? What was the theme for this year?
Theme this year was about healing.
And power.
Okay.
The power of loving. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember. The healing power of women.
Okay. All right. Okay. And this is, and I guess I'm still, to help the listeners, this is part, again, the Women's Initiative.
Yeah. So it came together first to celebrate International Women's Day.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
And we actually had our first International Women's Day commemoration, bringing it back to Detroit, and it happened to have been the 100th anniversary of the initiation of International Women's Day.
Okay.
So the themes have always been about, based on the theme, women creating caring communities, how do we create a beloved communities? What's the power of women? What's the intergenerational between young women and mature women?
Okay.
Women of all ages.
Women of all
ethnicities.
Ages.
Right. Thanks. What has been some of your experiences as you have had these, you know, annual events and things? What have been some of the things that you have learned or experiences that you've had?
Well, I've met a number of women whom you might see at a CVS or something like that, and you make eye contact, but you don't get a chance to talk.
Yes.
You know, most of us don't ride buses or stand at the bus stop anymore, or we're so busy moving.
Right.
So when I, and you're encouraged to bring someone. So this time with this one, I brought a friend of mine, Barbara Lloyd. She's my neighbor, and she came, and she found that there were other women there that she knew.
Right.
And she was a member of the UAW in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
So as you can see, the connection is, it can be long range. It could be as close as I'm touching you, or it could be as far as I'm a member of your organization. I was in another state.
Yes, yes.
I was a leader. And then you get to share your different ideas, and that's another way that you can be empower each other.
You know, and as each one of you were describing your involvement, I could see where it started off with Rich starting one place, and then yours from another perspective. So there's like the networking and collaboration, this was like almost inherent.
Exactly.
Okay, in what you're doing. When you you just had the conference this year, what were some of the things that came out of that conference that you are going to be taking and working on for the future events?
Well, for me, learning how to encourage other women, and not just women, other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I said, it's more than just women, it's our communities.
Right.
So in my group, there were women from Ohio, from upper northern Michigan. I'm from Detroit, and our communities are way different.
All right.
But one thing that we had in common was that we weren't satisfied with the quality of life in our communities. We felt that it could be better for ourselves and our children. And how do we do that?
All right.
And so each one of us gave a way to do it. Rich and his wife were the leaders in my group.
Okay.
And we talked like we're talking now, like you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you a keyword, like, okay, advocacy.
Right.
And how do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, unions advocate, but also you can advocate in your community. And that's how I got to connect with the rest of the group, because I ran for resident association president in my community. And my job is to advocate for the seniors in my community. It's a senior building, and for people who are physically challenged.
All right. Am I hearing correctly that when people attend this conference, it's almost a way of kind of awakening potential in them?
Well, it can be for some. There are some people who are already active. Some
right.
Some people become aware and they are awoken.
Mm-hmm.
However, you asked the question prior, what came out of it and what do we actually expect to do from the conference?
Right.
One of the things that will happen is we're going to be deepening our relationships in Detroit neighborhoods.
All right.
So there are plans to actually visit women who are really working in their community.
Right.
And trying to care.
Okay.
And be compassionate and be loving in their community and create that in their community and visit them to find out what they're doing. So there are some women who are gardening. There are people who are feeding families. There's a woman, Gabby. I just had an opportunity to visit her. She actually was without a home.
All right.
And so she now has a home that she's inviting other people who did not have a home. Many of them those people are artists.
Yes.
And they're growing together and again, loving on each other, feeding each other. So there are all different ways that people are building community.
All right. Now, when you say building, you know, you're going to try to get back into the communities. How exactly are you going to be doing that? I mean, I hear you talking. Can you like describe some of the mechanics of what's going to be doing? Like, how are you going to reach out to the communities? How do you designate who to reach out to? What communities to reach out to?
Well, it's up to the individual. So, for instance, myself, I have been, well, first of all, I've been in my community for a very long time, pretty much in my entire life, for over 50 years.
All right.
And so I'm reaching out to the school community. I'm in the Noble Elementary Middle School community.
Right.
So I'm reaching out to the children and families in that community.
All right.
Also interacting with Black Club members, mm-hmm. residents, anybody. I mean, so the reach out is how can we begin to interact and work together to make our community or build our community the way we want it to create that.
Okay.
So it's interacting through so many forms.
All right. Okay, Rich.
To add to that, I think we've come together at these annual gatherings,
right.
especially this year, at a time when there's so much fear and so much anxiety and so much pain and so much emotional stress, because this recent election has taken the veil off of America.
Yes.
And whether you're facing the ban around Muslims, or you're facing immigration issues, or you're facing how the schools have been destroyed, and I mean, to appoint DeVos as the, you know, the cabinet leader of education, and she's been instrumental in destroying the Detroit public school system, just from her views. We know that we have to come together and rely on ourselves, rely on each
yes.
other, create this, as is often said, an interdependence, rather than thinking we can solve things ourselves
All right.
individually. So there have been, as Ms. Gentry said, Mr. Trump represents a counter-revolution
yes.
to what America wants to become.
All
and
right.
what America was becoming, with Black Lives Matter happening,
yes.
with the Occupy movement happening, with people concerned about the environment and the planet, you know. So he was the, no, you're not going to go that way,
All right.
winner, right?
Yes.
And he's and so we have to we come together at this gathering, and folks get this amazing. So you're talking about over 500 folks
All
come
right.
together.
That
let's
was,
let's get
yes,
a spirit. I mean,
yes,
over 500 yes. folks. Mostly women who are testifying about their own strengths, their own abilities, their own love, and their own commitment to take care of business, neighborhood by neighborhood, family by family, street by street, at a time when there's, and I'll just stop at this point, at a time when most of the publicity is about downtown and restaurants and more buildings in Gilbertville and the hockey guy,
yes.
Illich,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Rather than what's really taking place in the community. So we're trying to find the way and create the ways that the community, led by women who have always led the community, let's
right.
be very clear about
yes.
that.
Yes.
You know, from the civil rights movement all the way on, that's what's always happened.
All right.
So that's what this is, sort of the legacy we stand on.
All right. Now, the conference is 7 years old. And ladies and gentlemen, as I always tell my radio audience, you should see some of the physical dynamics. I had to kind of like have somebody grab his hands because he was really getting in there. And one of them wasn't too far behind. Okay. But the enthusiasm is not the word I want. The intensity, I'll use that, the intense feelings that you, the commitment. Okay, the commitment and determination, those are better words of what we're hearing that. And if I'm hearing you correctly, is that at this conference is a forum for people to interact. And Lawanda, I think you kind of like said that you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's a special kind of synergy.
Okay.
That creates this enormous energy
mm-hmm.
that encompasses the whole room. It's like the Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
We had a wonderful speaker. And she became emotionally involved. She, like him, grew up in the neighborhood that she's volunteering in and, right. and moving forward. And she became so involved because she had actually, she said, I accomplished the things that I had dreamed of seeing happen. I was actually to initiate them, get them done myself. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And so I'm crying now that I'm thinking about it, because when you saw this young woman and she's crying out of joy.
All right.
She wasn't crying out of, oh, woe with me, I don't have this, I don't have that. She was saying, I was able to do it. I was able to make a difference. And I knocked on doors, and I knocked enough times for the doors to open, remember? And so everybody was crying. I mean, you know, I'm still crying about yes. it because it was so moving.
All right.
So it made me feel good. My cry was my spirit saying, I'm doing the same thing in my community.
Yes.
And she's doing the same thing. I'm not just out here doing something. I live in a group of seniors, excuse me. And my seniors are, when I first came there, I don't really care. You know, they voted. Mm-hmm. We have a great advocate in our group, but it was bingo and things like that.
Yes.
So now we have a community town hall meeting once a month.
All right.
And I wanted to do that because seniors are, many of them are limited in the way they can receive information. It's not print anymore.
Yes.
And they can't do it on the computer.
Kim and I were talking about that earlier.
And so, but they can remember
yes.
the story.
Yes.
So I asked once a month the resident association at my building. It's right. part of POMA.
Right.
Creating, preserving communities.
Right.
And we bring in people.
All right.
Our leaders, the people they voted for and elected.
All right.
And I do that because you can't talk to a TV.
Yes.
You're talking to yourself when you disagree.
Yes.
You know, we know that doesn't work because Donald Trump got elected. So we weren't talking to each other. We were talking to the TV and we were texting and we were, you know, they don't do Twitter.
Right.
But they're talking at the lunch table. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and,
yes.
But you're getting it one-sided because they're repeating what they heard on TV.
Right.
So my contribution I'm very excited about this year is we're bringing them in, bringing these candidates in, we're bringing in leaders in. I just talked to Rich on the way here and Women Creating Caring Communities because of a project that Kim's doing, visiting different communities is going to come in.
All right.
And so they'll get to see the things in action that they only hear about on the TV. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Now, when you say we, who are we? Who is we?
Well, for me, we would be Women Creating Caring Communities. I'm a precinct delegate in my community, my church,
yes.
other churches that are involved through the residents in my community.
Yes.
So we represent all of us.
All right.
As we interact with each other. That's my That's my definition of we.
Rich, your we. Who is your we?
I think it's all of what Wanda's shared and also the many, many people across the city who are like folks who work on the quilt,
right.
pointing out the unbelievably high number of murders and pain
yes,
and suffering
yes, yes.
Of mothers and fathers and parents and family members who have experienced violence and now are both bringing awareness and also doing restorative justice work where they are de-escalating fights at schools,
yes.
having building on Martin Luther King's nonviolence to bring those conversations to public schools and high schools across the city and the suburbs, folks who are creating urban gardens and urban farms,
all
people
right.
who are creating these amazing murals,
mm-hmm.
some who are creating peace zones for life,
yes.
others who are pointing out awareness around police brutality when that's mm-hmm. happening, as
right.
it happens across the country and our own city and suburbs as well, and folks who are creating after-school programs or real education programs, whereas what Kim was talking about is all these houses and homes that are being turned into community centers
all right.
because there's no more community centers.
Yes.
So there must be, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 that we could list. of people that are doing this in different neighborhoods.
Okay, is this just an initiative for Detroit, or is it whatever city you happen to come from?
That's a good question. I don't know if the community, and if you're talking about the initiative of the homes, I just want to be clear, or you're talking about the...
Your movement, whatever your movement is.
The women. Well, it's for anybody. So okay. Wanda mentioned her friend who was from out of town. Mm-hmm. So as we share the vision in terms of a movement, that's what a movement, that vision, that energy, that synergy actually is transferred over to other people.
All right.
So anybody can participate.
Okay. Now, you were describing your particular role in this particular the conference, I guess, is that it is, or you said you were the coordinator, or what is your...
So there are two co-chairs of the Women Creating Caring Communities.
All right.
There's a labor or UAW co-chair. She was not able to be here today. That's Nicole Current.
All right.
And then I'm the community co-chair.
All right. Go ahead. And so your role in this initiative is what?
And so my role is to touch base with community members, kind of be the community liaison, to be the eyes and the ears. And and it's a role of each one of us. I just happen to have this title. So we really all work together.
All right.
But specifically, community is the role that I play.
Now, is your organization a nonprofit, or are you a volunteer group? I mean, what is your base?
This is all volunteer. This is a volunteer initiative.
All right. And from this initiative, you have some 500 participating?
We've had 500 this year, 550 last year, 500 the year before. So there's been, over 7 years, probably between 3,000 and 4,000 folks who have attended these activities. And a planning committee that can range from 10 to 20 to 30 people any particular month, depending on the energy or the particular discussion taking place. The one thing I wanted to quickly add is, so there are people in Flint who are going to start one for next year, 2018,
All right.
who have been coming down from Flint every year for the event and even the planning committee.
All right.
And I think the question, because it is a movement. It's a movement about, in Martin Luther King's words, of how do we engage people in the rebuilding, the re-spiriting of our dying cities.
All right.
When everybody else has left them, except for those folks that are taking their own piece of the pie.
Right.
But essentially the rest of the city is being left behind.
All right.
And how do we begin, and the city is no longer just the city. It could be the inner ring suburbs now are also facing all of that, right?
Right,
could
right.
be River Rouge, Ecorse, you can go across the... Yeah. Across the area, right?
Growing up, I used to know of Southwest. I was always had to be around 4th Street and Honor Drive. Now it's it's come up Michigan and to where it's almost like the back door where I used to live. And I went to Northwestern High School. I dated myself because Northwestern doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, so the communities, and again, I guess we're redefining community. Community can be, and that's part of what your role is, to get a sense of what is and who is the community. All right. Where do you see your movement going?
Well, may I? You mentioned the community. A very important piece of what we're about is Grace Boggs and her husband.
Okay.
Her story is phenomenal.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
I'll let Kim get it, but go ahead. But finish your thought, because I'll give
it. It's phenomenal.
All right.
She came from a very meager beginning in Asia, and she came over here. The love of her life was a union person, very involved in the UAW.
All right.
And then the end of it is that... she kept getting involved and doing things over and over and sharing her ideas.
All right.
And with other people. And through that, you get to see what Women Creating Caring Communities, how it grew out of her concept and her husband's concept and their unity.
All right.
For me, I might see it going to reaching out in the community, but also realizing that politics does play a part in this. And it's important to vote.
Yes.
It's important for young people to vote. We're teaching them art and culture and sports, but we really have to push, of all ethnicities, and especially women, because we have the power right now.
Yes.
There are more women to encourage, to register, to vote, to show your power in that way. And then as you reach out in other ways, through gardening or through quilting.
All right.
But from the beginning, as a black woman, a woman of color, I see it, politics has always played an important part. That I was telling Rich on the way over here, that changed my mom and dad's life.
Yes.
You know, politics changed the lives of many people and their ability to learn to read. And we don't want it to set back.
All right.
And that's why I like working with the seniors, because they have these phenomenal stories to tell.
Right.
About how they made it without any of the things. I went to Central High School. My best friend went to Northwestern, so right. I know all about your story, girl. But then we had block clubs. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we had the Y.
Yes.
And we interacted through that. You could go to those centers and swim and meet people, and that's not there anymore.
Right.
So it's not that interpersonal kind of activity that you and I had.
Yes.
And that Rich had in his high school. Kim's a little bit younger, little baby.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say
but,
that.
But it's important that what she's doing about visiting these community centers that are homes now to bring people together. That's
so,
what I'm saying.
Now, at the beginning of the talk, we were talking about how it grew out of the International Women's Movement. Is there still a connection to that, or are you seeing that you need to get the components before you get international, or is just where are we with all that?
We have the annual event to commemorate International Women's Day, but we think as we, so 1 year, for example, there were a number of women, Arab American women, who shared what was going on in the Middle East.
Right.
As the Middle East was going through Arab Spring,
right,
and the rising up in Egypt and Tunisia and different places, and we learned about the stories of Arab women in particular.
All right.
And then, but generally we believe that the best way to contribute to understanding the international world is by making change locally.
All right.
So that we can become the kind of people and become the kind of country that doesn't drop massive bombs across the world and increased biggest bombs ever since the nuclear bomb was dropped, which our country just did in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So we have to, in the spirit again of Martin Luther King, who said we needed to struggle against the evil triplets of racism, materialism, and militarism, in that speech 50 years ago this month, and we need a radical revolution in values. And the Women Creating Caring Communities is all about values.
All right.
It's all about values. What values do we need to guide our community, to create safety?
All right. Okay, getting back to the we. So it seems like the we is a dynamic type of thing. Okay, it's not static.
That's very fluent.
Very. Thank you. That very fluent. What kind of flows have you seen in these different 7 years that are distinctive? Let's go.
Oh, there. I was just thinking. Intergenerational relationships between women,
right,
it's really starting to develop.
All right.
And that's becoming very distinctive. We're now asking younger women, or really inviting younger women, to have a stronger voice.
Mm-hmm.
And to, we were talking about sharing stories and just really trying to figure out together what we need to do as a group, as people working together.
Okay.
That's one of the things that's coming to my mind immediately.
Okay, all right. And then others also that's here.
I just want to associate with what Kim is saying, because I saw it change this year to the younger women really getting involved and participating, and and being proud of the work that they're doing, the involvement that they have.
Yes.
They also, I felt a strong connection, because it seemed like their spirit was intensified and strengthened by the fact that women who were their grandmothers or their moms or their aunts or sisters or great-grandmothers understood where they were coming from and where they were going.
All right.
And that's what I thought, How did I see it?
How did you see that? And then what kind of interactions did you see that?
And I mentioned the young lady that talked about developing her community. And then we did a little skit.
Okay.
And in the skit, we had a chance to talk about the connection, as Kim said. How does one enhance or contribute to the connection? So in the skit that we did, Rich, you remember it, Mrs. Gentry, you mentioned Mrs. Gentry. She's a teacher, educator. She's political activist, community activist. And she talked about how the Donald Trump's syndrome happened, in her opinion, and she's a senior. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that conversation led to, by the time it ended, to one young woman saying that she had come, and she thought she had no story to tell.
All right.
But she, after she listened to other women talk about their experiences, Kim said, they're walking through their life experiences, she realized and she got emotional. She did have a story. It didn't have to be their story.
Yes.
It was her personal story, and that meant something. It had value.
All right.
And that's this year was our main thrust was you have value.
All right.
And the power.
And the power of your knowing you have value.
And even though, we were talking about voting earlier, voting won't create the kind of relationships that we're looking for, although it's definitely important.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
Yeah, it won't create the kind of relationships we need to get to have the relationships we want. Politicians, many of them will work with us.
Right.
But each person in the that's coming to the Women Creating Caring Communities need to know that they are the leaders.
Yes.
That each one of us are leaders, and that we're all evolving, and it's a constant. We talked about the fluidity.
Yes.
That we're constantly evolving, and we're trying to be our better selves.
Right.
And so that's part of the movement.
Okay. Rich, go ahead.
I was just going to add that. So the first year, I think many folks walked away with being totally amazed at women who had started their own health clinic.
Okay.
By just raising $5 a person, a free health clinic.
All right.
A free health clinic.
Okay.
And then another year, Ms. V, who provides diapers around the community for little people as well as elders who need them, was able to do a workshop, and she had so many people sign up.
All
that
right.
She had so many more volunteers. So it becomes a way for her to share her work.
All right.
Another person, Myrtle Thompson from Feed'em Freedom Growers, where their theme is grow a garden, grow a community.
All right.
Talked about healthy eating and fighting diabetes and the importance of healthy food. I think people walk away with different parts, and there was...
Monica,
the struggle around the water. The water shut, stopping the water shut-offs. Yes,
yes, yeah. right.
That was really moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Monica's story was
we the
really
people.
Moving.
We
you
the
know,
people.
To dovetail on what Kim was saying about the vote, I think what's missing with the vote is we vote, but then we don't hold the what you're trying to do, Wanda, is hold them accountable.
Right.
You know, we check them off, and then we don't make them accountable to that check mark, okay? And giving the people back their voice gives them a sense that, you know, speaking up, you know, like you said, until they heard someone else's story, they weren't doing anything.
And that's the thing, I must say that the people already have a voice, mm-hmm. and we've given too much power to the elected officials.
Yes.
The power is there.
Yes.
So we kind of got convoluted in terms of where the power lies. The power lies with all of us.
Okay.
The politician as well as the individual.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to know that.
Everybody's a politician and then don't even recognize it.
Exactly. And our theme this year again, Swain, is value.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, especially when seniors and young people, don't really get a sense of value. And Women Creating Caring Communities enforces that you as a human being have a value, but through Joyce Boggs and other Pim Kim and others, it's not that you just have it. You got to use it. You got to know what to do with it.
That's what I was saying
about
accountability.
You could feel powerful, like little thing I did about being good, better, and best. But if I don't get involved and I don't do something with it, it's worthless.
Yeah, take the responsibility.
You got to take the responsibility to do it yourself. Don't wait on the power. Sure, you got to vote, but that's a responsibility too. But you got to get out there and like Myrtle with the water situation, she got involved.
Yes.
And it's ongoing. It's not even done yet. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
The homeless.
Yes.
You got to get involved. You just can't have one homeless center and think everybody, that's the way you can be referred somebody there. Or you see a person on the street and they say, I'm homeless, and you do it through your church. But if you look at the metropolitan Detroit area, there are far less community centers that are actually engrossed in the communities. I mean, Samaritan Center, one in my neighborhood, but there used to be, when I grew up and when all of us are here through that era, there were so many more.
Yes.
Block clubs were involved. Remember that? You had block clubs that were involved, and they would create ballparks out of the field at the end of the yard with supervision so kids could play. You know, you don't see that. You'd have a movie night or something with a move from my home movie camera.
Yes.
And just pop your own popcorn.
I remember a man saying, let's play a game. They said, what's the name of the game? It's called Conversation.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Conversation. Yeah.
You know, with this texting and stuff, it's like, you know, I've got carpal tunnel trying to use this one thumb, that type of thing. But, you know, bringing the voice back out, you know, and speaking. Like you said, if it hadn't been for the young lady hearing someone else, she didn't recognize that she had a story.
Right. She had her own story. Okay. Exactly.
Is there a website or anything that your group has?
There's a Facebook page
for
Women Creating Caring Communities, and then the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center has a website.
All right. So the Grace Boggs, that's your base?
It's Women Creating Caring Communities.
All right.
And then it's there's a Facebook page there that we use to publicize and share activities.
Okay.
And then the Women's Department of the United Auto Workers has a website.
As well as
the Boggs Center has a website.
So we're starting with this collaboration. It continues. Each group that makes the announcement or shares what's going on their website. So it's like it's still a movement.
That's right.
Okay.
I just want to say this thing about movement, because you've used the word, and I think it's a critical word. The Voting Rights Act occurred 1965.
All right.
Right? That's 10 years after the movement. So unless you create a movement first, politicians really don't know what to do.
Yes.
So you can't hold politicians accountable until we create this movement, and the movement is emerging, because there's so many growing, a sense of spirits growing and people growing in neighborhood after neighborhood. A friend uses the phrase, put the neighbor back into the hood. Yusuf Shakur uses that very frequently.
Right.
It's all part of what the movement is, to reclaim what it means to have the power and the spirit of having a vision of where we're going.
Okay, it's like a quiet storm. All right, but it is a storm. All right. There is so much going on in the metro area. You know, Dearborn has its issues. Detroit has its issues. What kinds of things are you seeing happening? Because, you know, it's like each time I'm thinking, each time you have your conference, you see another dynamic coming out of that. What are some of the things that you're seeing? I think you may have alluded to it earlier. I guess what I'm looking at is that inter-community, inter-city, and Hamtramck, Highland Park, Dearborn, Detroit, Delray. Is there even a Delray still? I'm not even sure. Okay, I went through, and it's totally different Delray from when I grew up. Okay, conversations, reaching out, is there interacting in that way?
All the time. for sure. There's lots of conversations that's going on amongst people from all communities, all ethnicities, locally, nationally, and actually internationally.
All right.
So conversations are being had, yes.
Can you share or give me examples?
Oh, goodness. Can I share? I won't think of, not right now. I can't think of it for myself. I can't think of a specific example.
Okay.
I can't right now. Can any of you all think of an example?
Well, I'll give an example of my girlfriend, Barbara. She came with me. Barbara is now a Detroiter, but she came from Maryland.
All right.
So when she came back, and she met another friend there who lives in her condo.
All right.
Who's from another out of state.
Yes.
What they did was they got on the phone and they talked about what they had experienced. This was their first time there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I think as a volunteer and sitting at the lunch table with the women that are there, and in my group where we shared values, they were from Ohio and small towns there, you know. So I believe in, and as a communications was how I retired, I used to be a concierge.
Okay.
So I tell you my story.
All right.
And I give you my recommendation on the best restaurant in Detroit. But you go back and you tell somebody else about that. And then they heard that and they go and say, well, girl, I know in Detroit they got this thing going on. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it can go. I told my sister, she's in Vegas. So you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's the same story. But as I said, what we learned was, when you hear it from someone else's mouth,
yes,
you realize it impact. It gives you an impact.
All right.
You know, I'm going through, but I'm not somebody that I don't even know is going through the same thing, and they're working it.
Right.
And that's the important thing. You know, you're working it, like Kim said, you're working it.
Okay.
You know, you're making it happen.
If someone from my listening audience wanted to try and contact you or wanted to be a part of this or to dive into or get part of that little current going, how would they go about doing that?
They can email.
Which is,
your email is?
Kim dot, this is a new email I actually got. Sorry, let me do it again. WCCC.Kim@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. And if I'm picking up, this movement is not static. That's the uniqueness of it, is that you're not going to organize it to death, right?
And just a couple, and they can also call 248-225-8037.
Okay.
248-225-8037.
All right.
And just recently my wife uses the phrase, ideas help us think.
Yes.
Stories help us link. And
all
it's
right.
The sharing of stories that inspire people. And some of us just recently started putting out a magazine called Riverwise.
All right.
That you can also look at riverwisedetroit.org.
Okay.
Which is Stories of Detroit. It's all part of this movement.
All right.
And most recently, we were having a little meeting yesterday, and someone pointed out, with all the people being deported,
yes,
from Southwest Detroit, and they have these vigils every Friday, Local 22 has taken responsibility to make sure Clark Park is safe and clean,
and
they actually make salsa to raise funds for it, right? So people are finding their own ways. They're not relying on other people. They're not relying on the government or the corporations to solve the problems or to create safety. We're doing it ourselves, and I think that's really what, when we say our communities are up to us, women creating caring communities, that's what we're taught, and that's the legacy of.
And there is a woman in every community.
Yes, there is a woman in every community.
At least one.
At least one.
And doing something.
I'm gonna just ask my friends here. Being a volunteer, like when you email Kim or when you call the number, maybe just getting emotionally, spiritually moved by what we've been talking about. Listen on the radio for our next conference. Come in, get involved. Come to one of our planning meetings. You may be a vendor. You may have something that you want to share.
Okay.
We haven't heard before, haven't had a chance to mention.
Okay. The planning meetings are when, where, and how?
So our next planning meeting will be at the Burwood House, which is on the west side of Detroit. The address is 12602 Burwood. That's 12602 Burwood. That'll be on Thursday, April the 27th, from 5 to 7 p.m.
All right. Okay. And that planning then is, you planning the next conference or you're planning your next action? You're just planning?
Both.
And I do. So how do you keep on going? How do you, these national conferences, how do you get the funds, the whatever to do it? What goes into all that? Right.
We've been very fortunate. The United Auto Workers Women's Department and the UAW GM Department have been very supportive, and we've held the last
five
of them at the UAW GM Joint Program Center over on Jefferson and Walker.
All right.
So we've had, it's been an important support of resources from them.
Where were the first two?
The Ford building.
The UAW Ford department.
Actually. All right. That was down on near Wilbert? Or
it's the old War Memorial
building. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. I'm just looking at these three people. They seem unassuming, but each time I had to grab people's hands here. What do you think keeps you going?
I want to talk about that some. Mm-hmm. So what keeps me going is the desire to have a different world. I don't really like what I see right now. I think it's a lot of there's a lot of improving that we can do. A vision keeps me going, having a vision about what I'd like to see. And being around great people like the two people I'm sitting with here keeps me going. Because it's wonderful to have support. And then when you're around people who care, it's just very encouraging.
All right. How do you choose your vendors? Or do your vendors notify you? I was hoping to listen to all that.
So our vendors have been all nonprofit vendors.
All right.
And they are vendors that support community efforts.
All right. Okay. And so then it's just a matter of making contact with your organization, and then you do the thing. The planning meetings during the year, any other activities besides before the national conference, you have any other kind of events and things going on?
So we mentioned earlier some tours that we're planning. Mm-hmm. We have also had some workshops this last year. And so we try to have at least some activities or events in between as we build up to the annual conference.
All right. Okay.
And we also encourage people to go to the Silence the Violence March that takes place at Church of the Messiah. This year it's July 1st.
All right.
It's an annual event.
All right.
And we share a lot of the different activities and events taking place. The vigil at Clark Park to give solidarity and respect for people who, an attempt at providing safety for people who are being possibly deported. Encourage people to go to the airport when President Trump announced the absurd policies around banning folks from the seven countries because they were Muslims. So we encourage folks to participate in the resistance, but our priority is really, really about creating community.
Okay.
Because as a friend said, you have to have two. If we look at what's taking place, you need one arm to stop what's taking place, limit the pain. Then you have to have your other arm looking where the vision is going.
Okay.
So you need both the vision and the resistance, and the community is the way to create that, so that people can care for each other, so we can be here for the long haul.
If I asked you, Rich, what's your quiet storm? Well, how would you define it?
What's my quiet storm?
Of this movement.
Of this movement? Knowing that every time we get together, whether it's a planning meeting or it's 500 folks at the annual event, or it's driving with Wanda here, you learn so much about the resilience of every human being and the hunger for all of us to be part of something much greater than we often have a chance to be, because we know these are difficult times, these are painful times, and we know that human beings from our own history. I mean, we stand on the shoulders of people that have come before us.
Right.
The storm is that people have a chance to ask deeper questions about how do we create community? What does it mean to be human? How do we love each other enough to change ourselves and our country?
All right. Okay. Wanda, what's your quiet storm?
My quiet storm is meeting people like you. Because you heard about what our initiative was, and it ignited your spirit. And so in the storm, there's that really, really light thunder that you hear before you hear the boom, 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 boom all over.
All right.
So that's my quiet storm, that I'm meeting people like you who've given us this opportunity to share, and who the listeners who heard today, I'm seeing that they can be moved too, that they can see where their quiet storm and where it's going.
All right.
So it may be a rogue, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it may just be that little sprinkling of a storm that, that makes your cucumbers grow, or your tomatoes grow, or your roses.
Okay.
Or maybe even more than that, it may be that you help somebody else get a new foot in life, and that's how I see my storm. That's where I want to be, in the midst of that.
Okay, Kim?
The quiet storm is the internal work that people are doing that we don't know about.
Okay.
That's helping them change to become the kind of people we're going to need to take care of the earth and to take care of each other.
All right. Okay. I want to thank my guests. I didn't know, it's like I was telling Kim, when I did the research, I was saying, now, where are we going to go with all this? And I think we've covered just about everything. Thank you again. And this is Betty Daniels from Impact. Make sure you stay tuned for our next programming, and recognize that there are two Impacts, second Tuesday and fourth Tuesday, and every now and then a fifth Tuesday. So this is Betty from the fourth Tuesday Impact saying good afternoon, and look to see you next fourth Tuesday.
And you're listening to WHFI Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls out there, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the kids are dancing, the jukebox is playing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Let's go, cat.